down, and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. I'm
Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming now. So welcome, everyone, to Rapture Centric Church, where Jesus is our pastor, and we are here to glorify him and to lift him up. So welcome, everyone. We have Tana and Pat on the line, and I'll open you up in a little bit here. And so far, no one in chat, but and welcome to everyone who will listen to this later on in the archives. Welcome. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Cannot wait. Spirit and the bride say, come. We love you. We love you. We love you. We welcome you here, Lord. We welcome you here, Jesus. Father, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, please guide and direct the show as how you see fit. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to get together and to talk about you and how you are working in our lives. And thank you for creating this church. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for getting us through our lives, Lord, for guiding and directing us, Lord. And yes, that you continue to do so. Thank you, Lord, for helping us through our trials and tribulations and for your provision, Lord. We want to thank you. And thank you most of all for loving us and for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can spend eternity with you. And thank you, Lord, for your promise to come and to rapture us out of here. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, welcome, everyone. Let's see. As far as me, I just got back from a camping / hiking trip yesterday. It was basically just a day trip, although we spent the night and then we hiked the next day. But today, as I was thinking over the trip, I realized there were actually a lot of spiritual parallels to this trip. So thought that was interesting. So we left Friday evening, and there were six of us, and two of the girls had left the day before, so they already got their tent set up on the campground. And so me and this other girl were going to share a tent, and so I bought the tent, and I don't have much experience setting up tents. So, and by the time we were going to get to the campsite, it was actually Palo Duro Canyon near Amarillo, and by the time we were going to get to the campsite, it would be dark. So I was like, oh great, now we're going to have to set up the tent in the dark, and I don't know what I'm doing, so this should be interesting. So but on our way up there, luckily the girls who brought the tent for just two people, she discovered it was a lot bigger. So it was able to fit all four of us girls. So at least that was one worry averted. So I did not have to be concerned with setting up a tent in the dark. So that was good. So anyway, we got there and we got to look up at the stars and see some shooting stars. And so we were told to watch out for snakes because it was kind of an open area, the campsite, and there was some tall grass around. And, of course, snakes like to lurk around in that area. So, and one of the guys was also saying for squirrels not to go off wandering off by ourselves, and that it, and there was like a bathroom that was just a little walk away from the tents. Where we were staying. So, and they were saying, oh yeah, maybe you guys should go to the bathroom together. Well, anyway, so it turns out it was time for us to go to bed. And so I purposely did not drink anything, much of anything, hoping I don't have to get up to the bathroom overnight, which I most commonly do. So I was trying not to drink, trying to dehydrate myself so I didn't have to go to the bathroom and go wandering out in the dark. But anyway, so got in bed and then, of course, woke up in the middle of the night. And, of course, I had to go to the bathroom. So I was sitting there contemplating, like, do I really have to go? Maybe I can go back to sleep. But then it started getting rather uncomfortable. So I'm like, well, you know, I'm just going to have to chance it because it's not even near daylight and I could be laying here for quite a while before someone else would be ready to go with me. So I'm just going to pray about it and ask God to be with me and to protect me, and just going to wander out there. So got my flashlight and got out of the tent, and by that time there was actually a fog that settled it in over the area. So not only was it nighttime, there was a fog, so I could hardly see in front of me, and had my flashlight, but it didn't really help against the fog. So it's like, well, Lord, I trust you're with me. You'll protect me from any snakes or other critters. We're told that there's also could be cougars out there and other wildlife. So I was like, well, when I was laying in the tent, I also heard, like, you can hear everything laying in a tent, but it sounded like someone or something was just walking around. So while I was laying in the tent, but then when I got out, I didn't see anything. So that was good. But anyway, so I was walking in the dark with my flashlight with this thick fog. And so luckily, everything turned out okay. And I got back to the tent. And but anyway, from that experience, I gathered kind of like our journey. We're out in the dark where there is a fog and we can't see too far in front of us and can't see the future. But we just have to trust God that he will provide for us. So that's the spiritual parallel that I got from that portion. So anyway, we got up the next day, and then the campsite or the hiking trail was just like down the road from where we were camping. So drove there and started hiking. I think I was told it was a 5-mile hike. And the first, the majority of the hike was just the flat, easy hike. So just basically a good, comfortable hike. And so I was walking right along. Not necessarily toward the front, but definitely, or not necessarily at the front, but toward the front of the group, and just walking along. But mostly I was kind of staring toward the ground because that's what I tend to do during hikes, make sure I don't trip over anything. So every once in a while, someone would say, oh, look at that rock. So that would remind me to stop and take in the beauty. So that kind of reminded me of life. Sometimes we're just so focused on our lives that we forget to stop and take in the beauty and to just be thankful where we are. So that's another spiritual parallel. But anyway, most of the hike was good. And then there was also bicyclists that would ride on that trail. And so anyway, the trail eventually got to a certain point. We were told that we only had like just a little bit more to hike, but it got to a point where the bicycle trail ended and it got to this steep, narrow trail. So then that story, and that was definitely a challenge because it was rather steep and kind of a sloped upward, and there was not too many footholds. So it was definitely a challenge. So that continued for a little bit, and so I definitely had to trust God in that. As let's see, I'll get to the spiritual parallel in that one too. But anyway, we got up to a certain point, and it was really kind of a flat point, but you could look out and you could see the canyon, and you could see we were up pretty high. But then there was also within that point, there was another big rock or ledge that you could climb up, and it could be really high. To say how many more feet that was, I don't know. I'm not very good at estimating that. Maybe 40, 50 more feet. And there was this ledge that was straight up, and two of the members of our group had, because the steep part of the trail, I got behind on that because I'm not very good at climbing steep things. So everyone else kind of went ahead, but two of the people tried to climb up this really steep slope, and the one girl made it. So she was looking down on us, and as I was looking up at her, the clouds were moving overhead, and so it actually kind of made me dizzy because I was just looking up, and I don't know, it seemed like I was moving too, but anyway, and then we ate lunch there, and then we started heading back down, and I also do not like trying to climb down steep things. As tricky as climbing up steep things is, climbing down is actually worse for me because the danger of falling, and this particular part of the trail that was steep did not have too many rocky areas to where you could rest your feet. It was kind of just loose dirt, and it was a hill. So anyway, I basically sat down on my bottom and slid down pretty much so I wouldn't fall down. And I felt kind of weird doing that because I didn't see anyone else doing that, but I didn't know what else to do. And I thought it was a thing for me to do to avoid getting hurt. So, in that instance, I was putting away my pride and doing what I should do to keep myself safe. And so the parallel would be sometimes we just have to, we may look ridiculous to the world, and we have to put away our pride to do what we know is right, and that'll avoid us getting hurt. Because if we try to hang on to our pride, we can end up getting hurt. So anyway, so that came to an end, and eventually the trail flattened out, and then we continued back. So anyway, I mentioned most of the trail was flat, and then the last very little portion was steep. So this reminded me back, Jerry's been talking about this, that he thinks we're probably in this 40-day trial period of being tested. Well, it kind of made me think of that because I guess the first part of the trail, the flatter part, made me think of our journey so far, although our journey hasn't been all that easy. So, and then the last portion of the trail that was steeper made me think of the 40 days of testing. So, I don't know, just made me think of that. But if that does correlate, then that should be an encouragement, because at that end of the steep part of the trail was the final point, the end point. So hopefully if we are going through some sort of 40-day trial period, that at the end, which is supposed to be around March 16th, is our final time, as in on this earth, and hopefully our proof is around that point. So so hopefully you followed me on my correlation, the spiritual correlation I got from my hiking/camping trip. And I was thinking about this morning, I was like, wow, a lot of spiritual correlations with that. So hopefully you followed that. Let's see, where was I going with this? As far as the 40 days of trial, I haven't really particularly noticed in my personal life any more intense trials since February 5th. They've seemed about the same intensity or so as before that point. And I can definitely say if we're still here after the 16th or so, I don't see my trials lessening after that point. In fact, if we're still here in April, I'll be faced with a situation that will be rather uncomfortable for me, and I would rather not deal with. But so hopefully we are not still here in April. But anyway, I don't know if this, maybe it's a spiritual 40-day testing that we don't necessarily isn't necessarily manifesting the physical. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Carol is in chat. Hi, Carol. Love you, Carol. Yeah, so that, I think that's it. So, yeah, I had a good time on the camping trip. And, yeah, definitely we're still a lot of high watch days in March. The 16th is only 3 days away, so we shall see. Yeah, so, oh, Carol's having April ? Mad face. Yeah, I don't think, I'm still really counting on March. I don't have any reason to believe we're going in April, so maybe she just counted, maybe she's listened in on that last part that I happened to mention. I was just saying, if we're still here in April, I have some challenge that I'd rather not deal with. So, but anyway, I have no indication to believe we will still be here then. Then, of course, there's the 23rd, which is another high watch date, 23rd, 24th, which is Purim. And along those lines, so when I came back today, I was cleaning out and unpacking from my trip, and I was going through my backpack and shaking my back, went outside my front door and shaking my backpack, and then out falls like a little piece of paper, and I had to go downstairs and get it. And then this other pamphlet thing, but I don't think it fell out of my backpack because I didn't put it in there the first place. So, but it's, I don't really know exactly how I got it, which is really weird, but it says, free public event. And then it says, you will be with me in paradise. And I open it up, and it actually is a thing from the Jehovah's Witness Church, but it says, talks about March 23rd, 2016, the anniversary of Jesus' death. And it talks about some sort of free event on March 23rd. So, but the thing that caught my attention was the part at the front that says, you will be with me in paradise. So I was like, well, I got to check this out. And, but anyway, says free public event made me think of a date set scenario. And the free public event part made me think of the worldwide rapture, of course, because that'll be the big public thing, the public display. And since it correlates that with March 23rd, perhaps March 23rd, worldwide rapture, which about a week earlier would be the 16th for our translation. So I don't know. But I took it as a date set sort of. Flirt, I don't know, but let's see. Anyway, that's all on that. I'll go ahead and read out of my Jesus Calling book for today. Okay, March 13th. Learn to live above your circumstances. This requires focused time with me, the one who overcame the world. Trouble and distress are woven into the very fabric of this perishing world. Only my life in you can empower you to face this endless flow of problems with good cheer. As you sit quietly in my presence, I shine peace into your troubled mind and heart. Little by little, you are freed from earthly shackles and lifted up above your circumstances. You gain my perspective on your life, enabling you to distinguish between what is important and what is not. The rest in my presence and receiving joy that no one can take away from you. So, just definitely keep communicating with our sweet Jesus, and he will help you gain perspective on your problems, and so that you can overcome them, which I got was the main message from that. It looks like Carol poofed out of chat. Come back, Carol. Oh, wait, she's online now. Okay. So, anyway, I think that's all I have. I'll go ahead and start unmuting people. We have Tana. Hi, Tana. And we have Pat.
Hi, guys.
And Hello, Carol. Pat. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Indeed. Yeah, that was good, Carol, what you sent out. That was really super, very encouraging.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys. Yeah.
Nissan Rapture thing. I just read that
a little bit
ago. Oh,
yeah,
that was
super.
Cool.
That was very, very good. I loved reading that. That was really
true. Sorry, I had you on mute accidentally.
Hi, Carol.
I was calling in, and as I was calling in, I was trying to mute the volume on the, on the chat, and somehow I couldn't find it and ended up kicking myself out. But when you said, Carol, come back to chat or something, I was telling you, I'm on the phone. So here I am, and I have to tell you, there's just something about March this year, and it's like, I've shared this before, but I'm going to say it again. There's something about the number three, with the third day, the third month, the client God, and I just want to reiterate. In 2013, we really thought that was the year we were going to leave, especially around the September through December period, right? And, of course, we're still here. So if you count, 2014 and 2015, those are 2 years or 2 days, and we're in the third day now, the third year. And we're in the third month, even though it's Gregorian, there was something I read, I believe I read in that post that I sent out about, the Lord is coming for the Gentile bride first. So I don't know why we're all, so many people have been, all concerned with the Hebrew calendar and the Torah calendar and the, creation calendar and all the calendars. When bottom line is, the Lord knows He is coming for us, and this is the calendar we follow, and this is it. So having said that, okay, isn't it interesting that 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 17, and that we all know so well, if it's not embedded in our spirit, in our heart, in our minds, I don't know when it'll ever be, because it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with what? The trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then, of course, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be forever with him, and we should comfort one another with these words. All right. And then we also know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, it says this. Here it is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and there it is again, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay? Now, of all the years throughout since the 80s, when Donald Trump rose to fame, good or bad, it doesn't matter. His name, everybody, in the late 80s and 90s, everyone started hearing about Donald Trump because of his business ventures. All right, fast forward. The man named Trump is running for president. And again, this has nothing to do with politics. It's just the very fact that a man named Trump is really getting the people of this country all riled up. For the better or for the worse, doesn't matter. He's getting people all riled up. because people are sick and tired of the establishment and the status quo and so on and so forth. So evangelicals even are supporting him. Now, personally, and this is just my own personal opinion, I don't know that he has a relationship with God. It doesn't appear to me that he does. I don't see any fruit of it. I don't think he knows the word of God at all. He may associate himself with people that do, but it's to his advantage that he does. So he at least can say something or other. But, you know, I do believe he believes in God, because if he didn't, I don't think he would. And again, I don't know. And I don't want to even go there. All I know is that he's blowing the trump, the earthly trump. And that is almost like a wake-up call. You know, people should, these are evangelicals that are flocking and running to him are not reading the Word of God. So, and how do I know that? Because if they really read the Word of God, they would read that the world is not getting any better. The world is not going to get better. It's not going to, we're never going to have a great nation until the millennial reign comes after Armageddon. When the thousand-year reign begins, that is when the earth is going to be restored back to how it was when God created Adam and Eve. And the animals are going to be at peace with each other and at peace with man. Now, I don't know the process, but I know I believe in God's word because he tells the truth. He is the truth. Now, having said that, all these evangelicals that are flocking to Donald Trump, if they would realize that, you know, we better not, it's to our benefit that we don't, you know, try to make our country great, that we don't try to push the Lord's return, you know, in the back burner. But they're doing that, I think. I think they're doing that by flocking to him, because they're on the bandwagon that we're going to make America great. We're going to make America, we're making America great. Yet, what they're doing, what Trump is doing, is he is sounding the trump. Pay attention, and what he's trying to get people to do is pay attention to the world events, to the way this country is going, so on and so forth. But here we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, that the Lord is going to, we're going to hear the last trump, and the trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised. Okay, same thing with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. To me, these are like signs. Pay attention, world, because even though the bride of Christ knows the Lord is coming, it's also like, you guys, don't you understand? Even God is using a secular means to get people's undivided attention. If they would just understand that the Lord is trying to get even our attention, people's attention, through Donald Trump. Okay. Right now, I'm going to share something else, which I may have shared with you or not. I don't remember. I happened to watch the entire funeral service of Nancy Reagan. All right, I like to watch these events because I'm always looking for signs. You know, is there a sign in there somewhere? So,
sure.
From everything I heard regarding Nancy's preparation for death, is she orchestrated every single detail. You know, from the music, you know, to the sermons, to the, you know, the of course she picked out the casket and the flowers and the arrangements and people who would be there and blah, blah, blah. All right. So she orchestrated every single detail of the entire funeral. She picked out the, you know, the clergy and the, and there was even a back pipe, you know, musician or whatever they're called, the person that played the bagpipe. It was just, believe it or not, it was the same guy that played the bagpipe for Ronald Reagan 12 years ago. Okay, now here comes the good part. The first song that she picked out for her service was the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic, especially the first line is, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Of all the patriotic songs that there are, God Bless America or America the Beautiful or whatever, she picked that song. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." That was the very first song that was sung once everybody sat down. And then the clergyman went up and said a few words and then read, you know what scripture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, running from verse, he started from verse 14 through 18, regarding the Lord's return, the trump of God. And I'm sitting there thinking, even God is using a funeral to get his undivided attention. Imagine that. So, however,
I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. So, anyways, and yes, there are many evangelicals who are against Trump, and that's true. That's very true. And I'm not saying all of the evangelicals out there, are, but initially we heard people like Jerry Falwell Jr. Pat Robertson, and people like them, that lent their support or endorsed Trump. And again, it has nothing, that I'm just saying that there's a lot of attention to the name Trump. And in my personal opinion, it is another sign. It is a wake up call. It is God using the man with that name to pay attention to what is happening, because while Donald Trump is blowing his horn, Jesus Christ is getting ready to sound the trump for us to depart. And I think this month is extraordinarily very telling of what is to come. So I think, I don't know, 2 days from today is March 15th, March. So between now and, March 24th, things could really get, they could get really, really, let's just put it this way. We could be leaving anytime this month, and I am so pumped up. And I'm hoping, I'm praying, and I'm believing, and I'm ready. And I think we all are. So,
yeah.
Yes.
For the goal?
Yes.
So that's what I have to share.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, next year, let's give you cash. You can meet me again. Love you.
Oh.
Let's see. I think Fonda may have some background noise, so I muted her for the moment. Let's see, I'll unmute her in case if she's trying to speak. Fonda, if you want to speak, you can. I think there's some background noise coming from our phone.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, that was good, Carol.
Well, I hope everybody's encouraged, and
Oh yeah.
I know that it's been, you know, it's been a tough, I guess you want to say, a challenging two, you know, 2+ years, because we really believe that, you know, the Lord was telling us we were leaving and we're still here. But, you know, he's brought so many people together, and people are not giving up. And they're getting more and more understanding and revelation and insight. And more people are, people have still come to the Lord. And, you know, for us, it may be, it just may be gone out longer. But... He uses everything, and we are not, by any stretch of the imagination, putting him in the back burner or discounting anything that he showed us in the past as you know, like, well, not truth. Everything he showed us was for, he showed it to us for a reason, and to me, another big, if not the most important sign, is the Lord promised he would come in the generation that the fig tree not only blossomed, but that the leaf would, you know, would shoot out. And, you know, in 1948, Israel was officially declared as a nation again, and in 1967, Jerusalem was once again restored as Israel's capital. Before, from the time between 1948 and 1967, Jerusalem, the entire city of Jerusalem, was under the control of Jordan. It was not part of Israel. Jerusalem was not part of Israel, and Jerusalem is right on the border, very close to the border of Jordan. See, so you know, Jerusalem is really the apple of God's eye, and when Jerusalem became the capital of Israel, when Jerusalem became the capital of Israel, that really sealed God's prophecy and promise that Jesus would return for us in that generation. Well, we're at the end of the 49 years of Jerusalem having become the capital of Israel, and we're reaching 69 years of Israel becoming a nation again. Either way, we're at the very end of the generation that Jesus promised he would return for us, and he keeps his word. He's not a liar, and he doesn't, you know, if he said he's coming in this generation, this is the generation he's coming for. He's coming in, and we are it. So we've got all of these signs, plus his prophecy, and part of it has been fulfilled, because until Israel became was restored as a nation, Jesus wasn't going to return. So when people say, well, Hitler people believed Hitler was the Antichrist, you know, back in the day, he couldn't have been. Israel had not yet been restored. He was an Antichrist for sure, but he was not the Antichrist, because Israel had not yet been restored. It wasn't restored officially until 1948, but the documents were already, you know, processed, but they were in the process stage back in 1947. So, give or take a year, you know, once May 15th arrived and the UN officially declared to the world that Israel was a nation, boom, we knew for sure the prophecy that Jesus promised. It wasn't even just a prophecy. It was Jesus' promise that he would come in that generation. Well, we're already at the end. So without a shadow of a doubt, it cannot be very much longer. And we, the bride, are scrambling to know, you know, what month and year, if not the day and hour, that he's coming. And we know that we can possibly know the day and hour that he returns because Elijah knew. If Elisha, and the prophets knew the very day that that Elijah was going to be taken up and not experience death, if Elijah and Elisha and the prophets knew, surely we can know. So there's nothing wrong with us searching and digging and believing that we are about to see Jesus return for us. And March is, to me, you know, I think it was last March that I felt it was a very high rapture date, and I believe we were talking about March 23rd. And I can't remember why. Maybe it was Passover and Purim again, but this is the third day, the resurrection, in a month. And I just think, you know, with all my heart, with all my mind, my spirit, we're all praying and hoping and believing by faith that we're going to poof this month. So I love everything that we're getting and we're passing on to one another, and we're doing exactly what 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, and that is to comfort one another with these words. What words are those? That Jesus is coming for us any moment now, you know, any day now. And we are to comfort one another, and that's what we're doing. So, you know, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride truly say, come with a heartful, with a grateful and thankful heart. And again.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
We love Lord you. Jesus, soon, soon, soon. Oh.
If we're here tomorrow, I can't call in, so I just want to say happy birthday, Jason. Tomorrow, I love you.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
Hey, Tana,
happy
love
birthday.
You.
Love you.
Love you.
Yeah, I think Jason's birthday is tomorrow. So, yeah,
oh,
happy
super.
Early birthday, Jason.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Right.
I can't call in
better
tomorrow.
Better than belated.
Happy birthday today, Jason.
Yeah.
Happy early birthday. Love you.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Happy birthday, Jason. That's great. Wow. Okay.
So I guess Gerald's doing better, Pat?
Yeah, she was sitting up, and I'm trying to see if she goes in the rehab this week to get her legs stronger because they're not stronger. So she's a lot better than she was. I mean, it's like sitting there, it's like looking at a miracle almost, you know. She pulled the tubes out of her mouth, you know, her breathing, and she could have died, but God sees otherwise. She's come back like 4 or 5 times already from almost not making it in her life. So the Lord keeps telling her, no, not time yet.
Wow.
Yeah, she's had a lot of close calls, this one. Oh, my gosh, she shouldn't really be here, but she is here. So God's going to keep her here until we poof, I guess.
That's
yeah, he's
awesome.
Fine-tuning people. I think he's fine-tuning and waking people up and making them really think about him and what's because they all know what I believe, and they kind of look at me, you know, like we all get kind of those looks, and what are you going to do? You just pray for them and carry on.
Yes.
It's all you can do, you know, really. So that was a very encouraging page Carol sent. I was very happy to read that. Very encouraging.
And the date
oh,
was pretty close to one of our date sets as well. So.
Yeah, I see the number 16 and 10. So I'm like, yes, I'm not dreaming. You were telling me these numbers.
Yeah, you were showing those two numbers
like,
as well.
They had to make sense somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, isn't 6 and then the April 16th. And when I saw those numbers, I had tears. It's like, wow, I'm not crazy, you know? Yeah. Oh my goodness. So anyway, I thought that was special. Yeah. So that was very good. I mean, we need encouragement. I mean, because you know, it's tough in the world dealing with it. I mean, you Turkey had a big explosion, 75 dead. You know, and it's just all this kind of nonsense going on everywhere. And you got your own family stuff, and we're hanging on. We're hanging on, and we're trusting. You know, everything the Lord said. I sent you on, Behold, I Come. Boy, if that wasn't an encouraging word from our Lord. Oh, my. If you guys have a chance to read it. It'll give wings to your soul. It really will. Because, boy, it was a great message. It was just a great message from Behold, I Come. Oh, my goodness. He put it right on the line for you. And don't you believe that I'm coming? If I said, it's like, yo, great. I need to hear that, you know. Yeah, I should really, if you wanted me to, I should really read that message because
read
I can't
it,
get over
I
it.
Yeah,
I wasn't able to open it.
It's so good. It's so good, God. It's so good. Now, just give me 2 seconds to find the thing on here because my friend James sent it to me, and you have to give me a chance just to find it, because this, okay, yeah, here we go, here, Behold, I Come, okay, hang on, here we go, this is, and after each sentence that he says, she gives all the, I'm not going to go through the scripture readings, but they're there to prove everything that he said, which was very good, and this is good, guys, okay, Jesus, here we go, he said, and this is from today, okay, and it's titled, If I could say just one thing to you right now, this is Jesus talking. He says, and it goes through a bunch of sentences, but listen to these sentences because this is going to make you happy. He says, do you believe that I am who I say I am? Then trust me. Do you believe that I am the creator and source of all? Then know that I have a plan for all you endure, and I will provide for all your needs. And again, it's just all scripture after this, but you guys can check it out on your own page. And he says, do you believe that in me you will find the answer to all your problems? Then stop trying to take control of situations and circumstances that are not your concern. Do you believe that my grace is sufficient, not just for some things, but my grace is enough for all things? Then come to me in humility and surrender and believe, and it shall be so for you. Do you believe that my ways are higher than your ways? Then lay down your mind and lay down your will. Do you believe that I have come to make all things new? Then stop visiting the past and living in yesterday, for its day is far gone. Do you believe my fire of refinement and purification are meant for your highest good and that I am faithful to complete the good work in you that I have begun? Then embrace your trials, your sufferings, and your heartaches, and thank me for allowing you to partake of my sufferings. Do you believe that I know the heart of every man and there is nothing you will experience that I have not? then know that victory is won with me, and you are never given more than you can endure. Do you believe I hear the cries of your heart concerning the disobedience or lack of knowledge of me, of your loved ones? Then remember that I have taught you. The fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous avail much. Do you believe that the power of sin and death was defeated on my cross that day on Calvary Hill? Then stop walking around defeated, overwhelmed, and weak. Walk in the power and authority bought for you that day with my life's blood. Do you believe that you are heirs to my throne, my brothers and sisters and my friends? Then speak and act as kings and priests, that your election may be sure. Do you believe that I am not a respecter of persons, and all are equal in my sight? Then don't compare your works for me or your walk with me with another. Do you believe that I have all things in hand and that no evil will befall you? Then don't fear the shadows in the dark of the night or the arrows that fly by day, for I have hedged you in on all sides, and you will find shelter beneath my wing. Do you believe that I am coming at any time now to take my own? Then do not become slack concerning your intimacy with me. Remain sober and diligent in faith. Do you believe that you, yes, you, are the most important person in the world to me? I died for you. I died for your love. I died so you would love me. There is so much more I wish to reveal to you, to your hearts individually. So if I could say just one thing to you right now, I would say, believe, 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 Yahushua. There you go.
Wow, that is good.
Isn't that good? I mean, he just laid it all out. Laid it all out. So no fears, no questions, no doubts, no facilitating, no, putting off. Just talk to him. And read that over and over. Because he said everything. It's like, believe what I've told you. I'm coming. I said so. Believe it. Goes right into what Carol was just all talking about. It all, these shows, they all fit together somehow.
Yes.
They do. They really fit together. You know, the Holy Spirit, before I get on, so Holy Spirit, guide the ship. You know, just before I call, say, Holy Spirit, just do it.
Amen.
And I had some beautiful He and I to read to you. If you want me to take like 3 minutes, okay? You ready?
Sure.
This is gonna wow you too. I just read this to my Jesus friend Oliver, who's in New Hampshire. I read him this like 3 paragraphs of this. It's so beautiful. He says, "Yeah, read it to me." Okay, so here we go. This is good, guys. You believe in the effect. This is Jesus. You believe in the affection of your mother and father. Then believe in mine. I am both mother and father. I gave them what they gave you. Imagine my joy when you believe as I want you to believe. Just the wish to give me this joy could help you. Say often to me, Lord, I believe. See, this is all fitting in. I never even thought of it. Oh, wow. Okay. Lord, I believe. Increase my faith, and I'll answer you. You know that I pay attention to what you ask me. Even before you speak, my ear is against your lips. As for my heart, there is no one on earth who can listen to you as avidly as I. No heart but mine could ever know how to treasure your words, complete them, and make them more beautiful. Doesn't everything you say to me need to be intensified, purified, amplified? And who can do this if not the one who lives your life? Don't you ask me every morning to make you live? I died for my own, so that my life might be live in them. Then don't be afraid of anything, but abandon yourself often to the wisdom of the one who indwells you, because he loves you. All these things that are beyond your understanding, he takes them and looks after them. He is forever merging with you. You belong to his human nature. You are one of his family. You descended from him. So look more often at the closeness of your union with him and hope for everything from it. Have boundless hope. Let your upsoarings of love and trust be greater than any you have ever known before. What a beautiful loss
to be lost in me, never to find yourself again. Since I enfold you, don't hunt any further. You've arrived. How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. There you go. Just rest in him. Rest in his arms. No anxiety. Just be sincere with him. He knows your heart. So just be family with him. Just be honest with him. Just open to him and listen to him. Listen to him. And it's so simple. It's so simple. I'm going to just tell you just very quick. When my friend Oliver is here, God is so strong in him. We pray on the phone together. We talk about God. We give back and forth what God says. And when he's here, it's like being with Jesus sitting across from me with the hair and the beard and drop-dead gorgeous. I have to tell you that. That's not important. But I'm saying, but the thing that I want to tell you guys, being in the presence of someone who has Christ so strong in him, and very respectful and loving. We would run around. We would shop together. I would help him get his car fixed. We would do all these very human kind of relationship things that people do. And you know what? It's so simple. And I said to Jesus, here's this man so strong in you, and everything is so simple. It's like, well, what did you expect it to be? It's like you get up in the morning, maybe you have coffee, one has tea, you get dressed, you go through the day. But the key here is you do everything out of sincerity and out of love, love for God. Because when we die, the only thing we're going to take to heaven is the love we have here. We came in with nothing in this world, and we enter only with the love and what we did for him. When we die, the things when we face him, he's going to say, what did you do for me when you were on earth? Do you forgive and do you want to be forgiven? Those are the three, those are the major things I believe he's going to ask us. And that's what other people have said when they've had these near-death experiences. What did you do for me with the time I gave you on earth to promote my honor and glory, to build my kingdom, to bring me souls? What love did you show? That's, anybody listening out there, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but anybody out there listening, you know, get it together. Cry out to him and tell him you want him in your life and give Jesus a chance. And he showed me, I think he put this man in my life to show me just how sweet a relationship, how, because Oliver is so sweet. He's the sweetness of Christ. He's the decency and purity of Christ. Everything is so respectful and lovely. But it's just true. You just respond and react, and you do things together, and you do it in love. And it's so simple. It's so simple. It's just living life like if he was walking on earth, living with his mom, you know, and all the other relatives and people in his life, and everything was just simple. I mean, for the 3 years that he really, you know, had to go and had to die first. But before that, life was so simple. He worked in the carpenter shop. He did things. Nothing was complicated. Same with our lives with him now. Nothing's complicated. You get up in the morning with him. You do the day with him. You sleep in his arms at night. You're up again. And on the wave of love and life goes. You know, just like the tide coming in and the tide coming out. And it's just this constant ebb and flow back and forth with him. But make sure you're with him. Make sure you invite him. Make sure you're doing everything with him. And it's very simple and very sweet. Yes, and in the midst of trials, of everything I've been through, and I'm not the only one. We've all been tested and tried. As Jerry says, it makes great sense. I'm glad somebody has said something about 40 days, because otherwise it's like, what the hey am I going through, you know? But I have the security and the joy, if you can put it that way, of talking to him and saying, Lord, look at this. What am I supposed to do? But I know that he knows that he knows, and that he knows, and I know, is peace to me. No matter what happens, I've got to trust him. I've got to trust him to everything. I've got more trials that I know are coming up. I know that because I've seen that. I've read this stuff, that's like the bill that has to be paid for my daughter, $11,000, only for what she has now. They haven't added on the last couple of weeks of what she's going to have in the rehab. I'm trusting the insurance to pay it. But if not, I have to. I tease Jesus and said, you're the husband, you're the father, you're going to take care of this. I can't take care of this.
Amen.
And he's got to. He's got to take care of it. He will. I'm not worried. It takes away the tension. When you're with him, try to be with him as much as you can. You know that he's going to take care of stuff. He knows you're going to get through it. You know you're going to have that peace. So just embrace that peace. Embrace him. And just spend the day with him and doing everything. I can't stress that enough. Keep it simple. He says, keep it simple. Just walk beside me. Don't make it complicated. Just simple. We'll go through the day together. We'll do everything. Learn to have that habit of just being with him. and talking to him and chatter away. He loves it. He loves it. He said, and he and I also, he said to Gabrielle, he said, you hear that little bird in the tree that, he says, it's chattering from 4 in the morning to 10 at night. He says, you do the same. Just keep me company. Talk to me, you know. If we pass with the ones who want nothing to do with him, you're always doing reparation as well as consolation with him. Always, always. Keep it simple. Keep it loving, you know. Keep it true. Keep it simple. Just simply go through the day with him, you know, and nothing complicated. Just make sure that you choose to love. You know, I'm doing, Jesus, I give you the day. I just want to love you. I want to bring you souls. I want to inspire. Just little words like that. And through the day, he knows you have to work and stuff. Give full attention to your work so you do it well. But for the moment you can say, Jesus, I'm doing this for you, or I love you. I just want to tell you I love you and that I thank you and bless you. Just little, you don't need a whole string of prayers and sentences and stuff. Just little heart talks to him through the day. And don't be stressed and say, well, I got to get home. You have time. He'll give you the time to have prayer time with him when you get home. But just in between the things you have to do, say, Jesus, I love you. This is for you. You know, I'm not forgetting you. I thank you and bless you. Thank you, dear God, for everything. Just little sentences through the day without any stress. Just do that. I'm going to shut up.
No, definitely. That's really good.
Yeah, no, just...
He loves our company.
Yes, he wants your company. He wants to be first. He wants to be the family. I knew of a... Listen, I got to go because I've got calls coming in.
Okay,
but,
that's fine.
You know, God bless you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay?
All right, love you,
Pat.
All right,
love you. Okay, bye-bye, dear. Bye-bye. Bye.
Amen. Yes, Jesus loves our company. He loves us to tell him that we love him and to give all of our problems to him. And most of all, he wants us to trust him with our lives and let him direct our lives. So, yeah, definitely some good messages tonight. So, did you have anything else, Carol or Tana?
No, I think I'm good.
No, I'm good. I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Me, I have nothing more to add. Except for, you know, Lord, come quickly according to your promise. And we're expecting you. You're a man of your word. And you keep your word and you are the truth and the life and the light in us. So we're expecting you to come according to your promise. Amen, Lord Jesus.
Amen. He is coming any day now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. And we are going to the chapel of love.
Going to the chapel and we're going to get married. Going to the chapel and we're going to get married.
Love you all. See you in the air. Love you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Today we welcome you, Lord, come. Spirit and the bride say come. Come, glorious Father. Come, King of kings and Lord of lords. Come, glorious Father, come today. We welcome you, Lord. Spirit and the bride say come. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Come, King of kings, come, Lord of lords. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come today. We welcome you, Lord, come. Spirit and the bride say come. Come, glorious Father. Come, King of kings and Lord of lords. Come, glorious Father, come today. We welcome you, Lord. Spirit and the bride say, come. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Come, King of kings, come, Lord of lords.
Spirit in the bride, say come. Spirit in the bride, say come. Come, glorious Father, come, King of kings, Lord of all creation, Lord of everything. Who was and is to come, the risen Lord. We want to be with you today forevermore. Come, glorious Father, come, King of kings, Lord of all creation, you're the Prince of Peace. Your bride awaits for you with heads uplifted high. Today we look for you, our champion in the sky. Spirit and the bride say come. Spirit and the bride say come. Today we welcome you, Lord. Spirit and the bride say come. Spirit and the bride say come. Come, glorious Father, come, King of kings, Lord of all creation, Lord of everything. Who was and is to come, the risen Lord. We want to be with you today forevermore. Come, glorious Father, come, King of kings, Lord of all creation, you're the Prince of Peace. Your bride awaits for you with heads uplifted high. Today we look for you, our champion in the sky. Spirit and the bride say come. Spirit and the bride say come. Today we welcome you, Lord.